Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or, for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. I hope you all are having a great day. How many people stayed home? Raise your hands to get ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow. I was very surprised when I woke up today and found my husband home because he didn't tell me that he was staying home. But it's not just for Thanksgiving. Today's his birthday, so happy birthday, Dave. And Black Friday. For all of you people that are insane, I hope you get what you want when you go out into the streets. I myself, for the past I don't know how many years, shop online because guess what? You get the same deals. You even get better deals sometimes. You get coupons. You get free shipping. You get things like that. So if you really, really don't want to go out, do your shopping online. Safer, more pleasant. Things come right to your door. No problems, no trampling, no broken things. Just do it. Trust me. So, now that I got that all over with, I want to say that I am very, very pleased to have with me today actress, singer, songwriter, director, comedian, and multi-instrumentalist. And guess what? That's not five people. That's one person. And her name is Carolina Hoyas. And I hope I'm saying her name correctly. Are you with me, my dear girl?
Yes, you said it right.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I try, you know, especially if I don't get to talk to somebody beforehand to find out how to pronounce their name sometimes or, you know, a band name or whatever. You would not believe the names that I come across that I have to really, really guess on how to say. So I always apologize ahead of time
if I
mess it up.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm just getting ready for the weekend and trying to relax and be grateful for everything that we have, basically.
Yeah, definitely. Do you go out on Black Friday? Are you one of those crazy
people? No, I don't like to shop, period. I kind of avoid stores like the plague, and if I have to get some errands done, I like to schedule them around the time that the most traffic is out there. In Hollywood specifically, I've found that going shopping right before a store closes is when the least amount of people are there, and mm-hmm. everybody's in a rush to go, so it's in and out, you're done. So
yeah, that's a smart way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like
I'm not crazy
traffic.
About shopping either. I think we're the two weirdest girls in the whole U.S. What do you think?
I'm with you on the online shopping. I lost two of my dog's little sweatshirts, and it's getting a little cold at night, and I haven't had time to go shopping, so I ordered another one for her, and it was the wrong size, so I have to go into the store, and I've already gone to two stores to try to find this sweatshirt. So, unfortunately, that kind of backfired because now I do have to go physically into a store.
Well, and
I tried to
find
avoid
the
it.
The right size online?
I could. You know what? I could probably do all that. I think I just feel like it's easier. There's a couple other things from that same order that I want to change colors. It's just easier to see it in the store. But I'll get it.
I gotcha. That's, you know, that's for your baby. You got to do that, you know.
Yeah, they get cold too.
Yes. And I'm in Chicago, so I know that very, very well. And I've got two Yorkies, and my girl dog is the only one that'll wear the little sweaters and stuff like that in the winter time. If I put it on the boy dog, I don't know how he does it, but he gets out of it. And
wow.
And if he hangs around my girl dog too long, he eventually gets hers off too. So
that's funny.
No idea how, but yeah, he does it. So, Anyways, well, growing up, my dear, you were pretty active. I see that from your bio, of course, that you did music and you were acting. Would you share some of that with our listeners?
Sure. My older brother, he's about 8 years older than me, and he started playing the piano when he was about 10. So we had a piano in the house, and I don't remember. This is according to folklore in the family. Basically, I wouldn't let him practice whenever he wanted to practice, or I guess he'd get to the piano and I would already be there playing, and, you know, what could he do but tell my parents I'm not able to practice because she's always on the piano? And I was two. So.
Blame the sister.
Yeah, right, like you really wanted to practice. But so I just, you know, they watched me for a while, and by the time I was three, they realized this isn't, you know, just some curiosity. This is something she's really into. And by the time I was 3 and a half, they put me in classical lessons for piano, and I took lessons for about 10 years, and I started competing, and I got a couple, one of the few things I've kept from my childhood is these gold cups that I got for consecutive years of competition, superior competition performance or something. So it's kind of neat, but I was like, I kind of don't remember a lot of it. But that's how it happened. And I still blame my brother. I told him it's all his fault. I even told him this record is his fault. it started with him. It's all his fault. So that kind of just inspired other forms of artistic expression. And I started singing. I started playing guitar. My mom started taking me to auditions for community theater and commercials and television, and things just started happening. I think it was just a natural progression, but it started with piano. That was definitely the first thing.
Wow. And you play the guitar too? Did you teach yourself that, or did you take classes?
I taught myself, but I did take some classes when I was like a little bit after high school, like a little bit in college. I took a few classes, but mostly self-taught. What I had planned to do, by the time I was 10, I know when people are in their sophomore year, freshman year, they usually go to colleges and visit and decide who they're going to apply to, and what degree to work towards and everything. By the time I was 10, we were looking at high schools this way. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We were looking at conservatories, and I know we were looking at New York High School for Performing Arts. We were looking at L.A. as well. But we wanted to include everything. Since I was already so versatile in the arts, mm-hmm. we thought, okay, it's got to include everything, and because it's not going away. It's not like it's a hobby, or it's just I was so devoted. And I mean, I still was a normal kid. I played outside.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I did those things. I wasn't always at the piano, but I was at the piano a bit. But yeah, then everything kind of came to a standstill once my mother got sick, and it was just everything kind of fell not it wasn't taken from me, it fell out of me.
Right.
So
right. Yeah,
kind
that's
of
understandable.
The switch turned off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, when you mention these conservatory schools and stuff like that, you know, the first thing that always comes to my mind is like that movie Fame, or the other movie with Hilary Duff, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But are those schools really kind of like that, or is it just completely off base that I think that they're like that?
I know some friends that went to New York High School for Performing Arts. I think everybody's going to get their own experience out of it. Sometimes the difference between, let's say, me and someone who at 15 discovers they like music, they like to play guitar, or they get a feeling out of it and it's something new that they discover, that's something that they're aware of. For me, I wasn't aware of it. I didn't discover it. It was already there. So I didn't know anything else. So my experience in any of these kinds of courses or classes or in the entertainment field, period, isn't the same intent or need as other people's. So I think my experience probably would have been different.
Yeah,
because I don't know that the friends that I know that went to New York High School for Performing Arts are quite as serious about the arts specifically,
mm-hmm.
but they wanted to go because, you know, they were able to have fun and do something different. And sometimes the parents force it on a kid, too.
That's true. We do that to our kids sometimes.
I know so many people who are like,
but you want them to experience a lot of things, so, you know.
I think that's smart. I think it's great to, if you can afford it, to have your kid take all sorts of different classes and take sports and you know, join teams and do clubs after school to find out what they like. But there's a lot of parents
mm-hmm.
that push it and say, nope, you're going to do this, whether you like it or not. That wasn't me. I was begging.
No.
I was such a had such a thirst for knowledge. And in fourth grade, I begged my mom to put me in summer school for computers. That's how
You're
ridiculous
kidding me.
I was.
Oh,
and
my
I
gosh.
Went to summer school to learn about computers.
Oh, my gosh.
That's really weird.
That is different.
But they definitely didn't force it on me. It was my choice and instinct, and they just listened to it. So
I think
some people don't want to do it, and they're forced, and then they just have to do it because it's all they know. But mine's my
mm-hmm.
instinct.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good thing you got to do everything that you wanted to do to be where you are today.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm so grateful that my parents were able to let me try so many different things. So
definitely.
I definitely am blessed.
Now, you've been on stage, you've done film, you've done TV. As far as stage, what did you love about doing that, and what was the hardest thing about being live on stage?
Stage is the best place on earth. there's a thrill of anything can go wrong, first of all. And then when everything goes right, it's a beautiful thing, and it's rewarding, and the instant feeling of affecting people and making, I don't want to say every piece that you're going to do is going to make a difference in the world, but
mm-hmm.
if you reach just one person, that's the dot, you know, basically I feel like my job is done. If one person either opens up their experience with something new or is inspired or even just laughs, then I'm happy. And that doesn't happen when you do a million takes on a film set or TV set.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's no audience except for the crew and your other actors. And it's still in its own art form. That's exciting too. But the stage is just, you're connected. You're one with your audience, and you're the same. You're no different. It's just, it's beautiful. You're all experiencing this story together. So I think it's more interactive.
Yeah. And I think that you probably feed off each other too.
Oh, definitely. You can feel when a crowd doesn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to try to win them over and engage them. But that's all part of it. It's such a mind-blowing experience sometimes. So I prefer, if I had to pick, I'd prefer the stage. Be it live music or theater, I prefer the
mm-hmm.
stage.
What was your favorite play that you were in?
You know, I just did, last year I was in a play called Hortensia and the Museum of Dreams. And it was written by Nilo Cruz, who won a Pulitzer Prize. It was really, really, really well written. But the funniest part was my character had to be on roller skates. So the production got me some roller skates, and I had to learn basically how to act on roller skates in this theater. And the setting was kind of more of an interactive theater, so it wasn't just stage and seats.
Mm-hmm.
The action was around the people. So it took some choreography.
I would imagine.
And And it was, I mean, I have a dance background too, another thing my parents definitely enriched me with. But it was interesting putting all that together and then staying in character and making sure everything was believable and I didn't fall flat on my face or on anybody. So
yeah.
it was exciting. And I had to wear a short skirt. It was,
oh, my gosh.
I had hot pants on underneath, but it was, the whole thing was just one big, you know, kind of chaos that was exciting. So that was probably my favorite.
Well, it sounds like it was fun, though. Did you know how to skate already, I hope?
As a kid, sure. I hadn't been on roller skates, I don't know, maybe 10 years. I know some friends have roller skating birthday parties here and there, but it's not like we're roller skating every day. So
right.
I definitely
took
some training again.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite things to do as a kid, too. We had this, besides my parents taking us every Sunday roller skating, there was a guy in the neighborhood that used to take a bunch of us kids skating. So I grew up with that, and I did some ice skating. But if you put me on a pair now, oh, no, I'd be flat on my face.
It's scary.
It ain't happening.
It's definitely scary. And,
yeah,
you know, it
wouldn't be pretty.
It's definitely scary. But I would love to do more stunt work like that. I did have to do some minor stunt work in a film that I was in, and that was kind of exciting. I was in really probably the best shape I was in ever, maybe. And I was able to do everything, you know, without a stunt double, and it was fun. I got a little bruised up, but it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah,
definitely.
I know that. I've talked to quite a few, you know, actors or actresses that love doing their own stunts, and I know that sometimes the, you know, people behind the film or whatever don't want you really doing that because of getting banged up or, you know, hurt or something. But I know it's got to be fun for you guys. And do you, like, practice a lot before you do it so that way it looks
believable? Oh, of course.
Believable?
I cross-train. Yeah, I cross-train, and I make sure that I'm not going to injure myself.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure that my muscles are ready and everything's flexible. And there's also tumbling classes that you can take, stage combat. I actually haven't taken any of those, but I used to... I guess you could say club dance a lot, and there was a lot of acrobatic moves that had to happen, and they're kind of similar in the way you leap and catch yourself and land. So it's been easy for me to kind of adapt on set when I have to do something like that. But I would like to take something like that in the future. I think it would be, I don't know, I think it would be fun. Everything's fun.
Yeah.
To me,
yeah.
There's never a dull day. Everything's fun for me.
Well, I love your passion for what you do. I just, you know, if you don't have that passion, then you don't belong in that business. So.
Oh, no.
It'll definitely have that.
It'll eat you up and spit you out if you're not ready for it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Now, I have to say, I watched the video for the preview of season 2 of Real Housewives of Disney, and I just cracked up. And I have to go back and watch season 1 and you know, get prepared for season 2. But you guys are really funny, and I bet it's a great web series. Would you tell us more about it and about your character?
Well, the web series was started by Sheila Shalaki. She is one of my troop mates in the Mayflower Welcoming Committee. We are mainly an improv troupe, but we're also doing some sketches now. But this is a web series that she's had for a few years, and this is her new season that she's created. And it actually, this specific episode and teaser that you saw kind of came about because we were trying to brainstorm on how to incorporate that I was doing this Kickstarter and you know, that I'm releasing a record. And so we kind of bounced ideas around, and it was funny because she asked me She said she wanted to do a villains episode, and what was my favorite Disney villain. And here I'm thinking, wow, you don't usually get asked what your favorite villain is.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody has their favorite princess or hero.
Right.
And so I just thought, well, how funny would it be if Cruella De Vil was my favorite villain, since I'm the hugest dog lover in the world. So we went with that, and we rolled with it. And I don't want to give anything away, but it's
right.
kind of hilarious how it plays out in the next episode. it was fun, and Liz Lemon was a trooper being in the sketch with us. So she's going to be in more in the future.
Yeah, I definitely need to watch that. Do you know how many episodes there's going to be?
I'm not sure yet. She just released another episode today for Thanksgiving, but it's a different theme. It's Pocahontas and Sacagawea with John Smith. So it's more of this episode, I believe it's more of a change the name campaign. So she usually has like a political spin on them. I know one had a spin with Prop 8. With I think it was Beauty and the Beast, and then there was also Snow White. I think the Snow White one was about Prop 8. Very clever, very funny, but she definitely always has a cause behind them that she's, you know, for and trying to voice with, you know, with comedy.
Right,
so,
right, yeah. There's a moral to that story. For our listeners, that's on YouTube, but I unfortunately forgot to write down where to find it. Do they just look under her name?
Yeah, it's youtube.com/ Sheila Shalaki, and that's Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A, Shalaki is C-H-A-L-A-K-E-E.
Yeah, not easy.
No, not easy. No.
But well worth it, so go watch it, guys. Now, I also watched your demo reel, and I have to say, you are unbelievably awesome at doing accents. Is this
Thank
something
you.
That came easy for you, or did you take classes for that? Because I know they have classes for everything these days.
Well, yeah, they do. You know, they say that a musician has a better ear for it, since we already know notes, and we know we can kind of decipher intonations and tones and fluctuations within the voice. So it was easier for me to pick it up. I didn't actually study those with anyone. But any time that I've taken on a role, if I had the choice to do an accent, I did, so I could have to research it and make it more specific. I think the one that you saw was probably the 5-character reel.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of them was just me.
Yes.
Yeah, that one I specifically asked the Fox website, or Fox, the regular channel on TV, Fox, was doing a casting website where you could upload a monologue, and it could be a self-written monologue, and they were going to have a database for their casting directors, and they would let you know if they accepted it into their database. So I actually wrote that piece based on the submission to Fox. They ended up accepting it, but then the website basically disappeared and the casting department changed and everything's changed. But that was the first thing I directed that I written, and I did all those characters and I put it all together, and it was super, super fun because I involved a lot of friends with it. I basically asked different friends of different ethnicities, saying, everyone always thinks I'm something, you know, something else than I am. So in your culture, which country in your, you know, ethnicity do you think that I would pass for believably? Mm-hmm. So my great friend Misha, who's half Indian, half Mexican, he said, I believe he said East Indian, and then my friend Timo, who's Chinese, he said Cambodian. So these were very specific regions,
right.
and I did more research with them, and then I researched those specific accents, and added those to the reel, and then I asked friends at the time what kind of clothing they had that might be either authentic or that could resemble and the different ethnicities in their cultures. So we put it all together, and it was so fun to do that. And the best thing that someone could tell me is that they didn't realize that all characters were me at first. And that was kind of the whole point.
You don't realize that at first. When it goes from character to character, and then something starts clicking in your head, and you have to go back and watch it again, like, wait a minute, that's her.
Yeah.
That's her.
And the whole the whole effect of it is that we're all the same person, and there's, you know, mm-hmm. there shouldn't be a racial divide that separates us. We all have wants and needs, and we all have bad days. We all have love, you know, and just like she says, I'm your sister, your mother, your daughter, your wife.
Yeah.
I'll always mm-hmm. be me. So it was super, super fun because I got a lot of friends involved, but yet all you see on screen is me, which was interesting. But that was the purpose. It was for the monologue for the Fox website, and then I ended up just putting it on YouTube. And it's something I'm really kind of proud of, specifically for the different races that are involved and how we're all one. We're just all the same. Basically.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. You did an excellent job with that, and it has a very strong, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't, my mind has gone blank. You know, information to get out there for people saying, yeah, we are all the same. And I wish people would think that way, every single one of us on earth, and there wouldn't be the things going on that's going on these days. So we'd all get along a lot better. And I think we would be happier people.
And that's the thing, like, especially if when someone sees that video and realizes that it's me, or someone that knew me as blonde. Right now, I've let my hair go natural, and a lot of people don't realize that I'm ethnic, and they don't realize the history of, you know, things that I've had to deal with being ethnic. And a lot of people dismiss it because they haven't experienced it, which is
right.
is tough because they don't believe it's real because they haven't experienced it. So
right.
I think building that awareness and that they can't have possibly noticed it because they're not going through it, but then to understand it that way, that's the challenge. They can't know
right.
if they haven't lived it.
Right,
so,
exactly. Walk a day in my shoes, as they say.
Right.
So now, do you change your hair for different roles, or is this something that you just like to do?
For a long time I liked to do it. Now I'm at a point where I don't want to do anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a great collection of wigs.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and they're so much
fun. That saves your hair.
It saves my hair. It saves me time because they just go on and they're perfect.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to the salon. I don't have to go to the colorist. I don't have to get a haircut.
You don't have to spend money.
Yeah, I don't have to leave the house. I just put it on. And it's ready to go. I don't have to spend an hour at home or the night before setting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still like to do that every once in a while, but I love simplifying life. So this is probably the funnest way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And you feel like a little girl sometimes, I would imagine, because that's what little girls do, is playing dress up, you know, but you get to do it for real, and you get to get paid for it when you get a film or a TV role. So there you go.
Exactly.
The best of all worlds. Now, speaking of films, for Roses of April, your castmate was Ken Franklin, and then you guys were in a band together for a fundraiser. You were in that, and then you did a movie called Black and Blue, playing a street busking musician. And after that film, you invited Ken back to do street busking on Santa Monica Promenade. I find that extremely interesting. The reason I bring it up is because, first of all, I listened to the song that you guys did together, how that all came about, and I want you to share that with our listeners. But also the busking part. I have really never heard of that in the U.S., and I guess it really does happen, but I hear about it more in the U.K. So made you go out and do that?
Well, Los Angeles is so artist-friendly. I know New York is too. I know New York, now they're requiring permits. I don't think they used to. But in L.A., you can go to the Santa Monica Promenade or Venice Beach, and there are different permitting systems, but they're really inexpensive. I think it was like $30 for the year in Venice or something. One of them was free. The other one was $30 for the year. And you get a little ID, and you have to go and claim your space, and you have to move every 2 hours. And so the performers kind of rotate in front of the stores, and you can't be – you have to be a certain distance from the entrances, so there's no fire escape route being, you know, jeopardized. And there's a whole system, and it's very artist-friendly because you can go and try out new material. You can be – a juggler, you can. I've seen people out there with the monkey that like does tricks. I've seen break dancers, and it's part of, you know, the tourist attraction. You come here, you're going to see. Even on Hollywood Boulevard, I think they have a permitting system there too, by Grauman's Chinese Theater. It's a very, you know, big tourist attraction, and there's performers there too. And you know, some people look at it as a way to get discovered. I've had friends who went down there with CDs, and they actually sell CDs while they play. And they sell a good amount.
Pretty smart. Yeah.
So they go every weekend, and they make a good living selling their CDs because you get to hear it before you buy it. You hear it live.
Right.
And you get to meet the artist, and it's a one-to-one transaction, and you're helping support the artist, and it's wonderful. And we didn't have that intent because we didn't even have, you know, we weren't a band. We weren't even really solo artists, but we were musicians, and we'd been playing in so many bands, and we had a lot of songs, but we didn't consider ourselves really solo artists. But the film, once I finished the film, it kind of gave me the inspiration, and I thought, you know, I love playing, and I should get back to it, whether I'm in a band or not. Let's just go do this. Maybe we'll make a couple bucks in tips, and if not, we'll be able to play for people. Like I said, on stage, there's such an experience of interacting with your audience. So I could play alone in my room, or I could go play on the promenade and get an experience out of it. And, you know, hopefully entertain someone. So that first time we went out there, I was playing a song and I stopped, and this lady that was watching, you know, came up to me and gave me this flyer and said, "You're a musician. We'd like you to come in for this casting." And I said, "Oh, this is for musicians. Give him one too." And Ken was over there, you know, messing with my PA. He was operating the PA for me, and we were going to basically switch off, and because we weren't in a band. We were just helping each other. So I was going to play. He was going to, you know, work the sound, and we were going to switch. And so they gave him a flyer, and we just continued about our day. And that night we talked about it, and he said, "Why don't we write a song together for fun? Just see what happens." And give them that opportunity to audition us together when we go in for the audition. And so we did. We went the next day, and we emailed them our pictures and everything from when we were out there playing. And then they brought us in, and we asked them, "Do you want us to audition separately, or do you want us to audition together?" And they said, "Are you in a band?" And we said, "No, but we wrote this song just for fun, and you know, we wanted to offer it to you guys if you want to hear it." And they were like, "That sounds fun. Let's just do that." And we're like, "Cool. You get to kill two birds with one stone."
Right.
and so when you audition, you basically have to hold up your name or your name on a chart in order for them to slate and to know who's who. And we didn't have a band name, so they just said put down two birds, since we just said kill two birds with one stone.
Right. That worked.
And it worked, and we booked it, and then we were off. We did the Roxy. We had to do this great photo shoot, and I think the whole thing, the photo shoot might have lasted all of an hour, but I was in hair and makeup for three.
Oh, my gosh.
It was very lopsided. But they were so into the song, and I know the photographer was even saying, I want to shoot your band, and I want to do your press shots. And we're whispering to each other, but we're not a band. And things like that just kept happening. And, you know, we kept playing together, but it was like the more people wanted us to play together, the more we kept listening. And it wasn't like we set out to do that together. It wasn't like we set out to make these songs, and they just kind of kept coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it was meant to be.
I think so, too. I think so, too. And a lot of fun came out of it and a lot of cool things. We ended up, we ended up playing for my friend Leah, who's also working with me on this Kickstarter. Ended up playing a couple shows that she had set up. She set up our very first L.A. show, our very first Long Beach show. She's been an amazing friend and supporter for so long. I owe her the world. But it was through her events that, you know, we met other people that then all of a sudden we had a video that was being made. And then from that, we had someone ask us, our friends Mandy and Elena asked us to sing that song for them as they walked down the aisle to get married. As a musician, honestly, after that day, I felt like I could quit because that was the top. I wasn't going to top playing for someone during their wedding, you know, mm-hmm. for their nuptials. I just thought that was the most rewarding experience, to be invited into someone's day, you know, to start the rest of their lives together and to, you know, fix that in their memories and their story and to include us. I just think that was incredible. So that's the end. We've done it all.
Well, for our listeners, the song that Ken and Carolina did is called Stuck to You, and I'll be playing that at the end of our interview. So, but right now, I'd love to get into your Kickstarter campaign. It's going to be for your debut album called The Lost Tapes. It ends on December 6th, so we need to get you some more money. I know you're a little bit past, I believe, the halfway point now, aren't you?
Yeah, I think we're at 64 or something, 64%. Yeah.
So it's, I have it pulled up here. You know, if you go to Kickstarter, all you have to do is type in her name on the search, and its last name is spelled H-O-Y-O-S. Yeah, you're at $6,505 out of your $10,000 goal. So this is for your debut album. Tell our listeners about the album and why you're doing it now and any other reasons you have.
Okay, well, the URL, we created a fast URL for it, and it's basically mylosttapes.com. I named it that because the record is going to be called The Lost Tapes. We finished it about 2 years ago, and the sound basically is like we found old tapes and we kind of put a new spin on them. There's definitely a 60s throwback sound throughout the entire collection. But I changed the name for Kickstarter to My Lost Tapes because 2 years ago I had to take time off and become my father's caregiver once he was needing cancer treatment. He was diagnosed in 2011, but he was doing other therapies until he had to go in to do radiation 5 days a week. So basically I'm getting back to it a lot broker than I was before.
Yeah.
But everything's done, which is beautiful. Most everything's done. I still need mixing, mastering, a little bit of post-production on some videos. There's some touring that I'd like to do and some production. Print production. I want to press some CDs and some vinyl. and I'm dedicating the entire record to my dad. He's in remission now. He's doing really, really well, taking the time off to take care of him, and was so worth it because he adapted a new lifestyle, and he's gung-ho about even eating vegan food, which he would
really?
Have never touched before. Yeah, and I'll give him a green drink of all these vegetables that I've just pureed, and he's like, oh, this looks great. he'll drink it, and then he'll feel great afterwards. So now he doesn't question it. And he's so eager. It's like he's a kid and he's experiencing new things and being open to them, and it's beautiful. So I'm dedicating it to him because I know the energy that we've had together has been reciprocal. So I want to keep that going, and I want him to know I'm doing this because I don't want to give up. So even though I put it down 2 years ago and I didn't know if I was going to get back to it, but now I've got the energy and I want him to know this is for him. So.
Yeah, what an inspiration, and both of you are, and God bless your dad for getting through this. And you know, I know it's a really, really hard thing to go through. I went through it with my mom. Unfortunately, she passed away though, and from breast cancer. And so I'm totally 1,000% behind anything that has to do with, you know, getting the word out there, sharing websites, donating when I can for the Cancer Society and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
I'm so happy to hear that your father's doing well now.
Yes, thank you so much. And I know there's more that I want to do with it because, I mean, the more that I learn, the more I'll share. But it's
mm-hmm.
it's a rampant killer, and it's all throughout my family. My mother also died of breast cancer. My grandmother
mm-hmm.
died of ovarian cancer, and I've had numerous dogs die of cancer, different cancers. So I know it's what we're eating. It has to be. There's other countries that don't have these rates of cancer,
right.
And their diets are different. So the unfortunate thing is they die of simple infections that we can cure, but they
mm-hmm.
don't have the number of cancer that we do. So
yeah. Well, hopefully one day, you know, with all the things that they do these days, people do live longer and do come out of it and do go into remission and live longer lives. So there is things, you know, that we are doing that are helping that, but we just need the cure and that's it. And hopefully that'll happen soon. But what type of music is going to be on your album?
Let's see. It all has a 60s throwback sound, but if I had to compare it, it's always interesting when you compare it to an artist because it's just not the same. It's really not.
No,
if I'd have to say, okay, 2 years ago I secretly and unofficially released the A-sides of this intended record, because I've always wanted to release it on vinyl since it was like lost tapes from the 60s, and in the 60s they had records. well, they had
yeah.
8-tracks too. I released the A-sides, and there you can hear them online. What I'm releasing now is the B-sides as well as the entire thing as a full record. The A-sides feel like you're kind of getting ready for the weekend and you're getting, you know, amped up and excited, and vice versa. You could also be getting amped up and excited for your week because your week is exciting. But I think the majority of people are looking forward to the weekend. So
right.
the A-sides are more like a Friday night. We're getting ready to go out and have fun and everything's exciting. The B-sides are more of a sunny Sunday afternoon, reading a book at the park, you know, maybe playing catch with your dog or having a picnic. So it has more of I call it a sunny Sunday afternoon. It feels relaxing. There's a whimsical nature to it. There's definitely daydreamy sounds going on in there. I really can't wait to release it because it's so different from the A-sides. But it's and it doesn't mean that it has to be from two different artists, because, like, everybody feels different on Friday than they do on Sunday.
Right.
I mean, they, you know, it's Sunday's kind of a day of rest and relaxation and recouping or regrouping for your week. So the B-sides are definitely relaxed. I can't wait to release them.
I know, I definitely want to hear some more songs. You've given me two songs to play, and again, I'll play those at the end. One's called I'll Find the Time, and the other one's called The Sun. Can you tell us a little bit more about those songs?
So the first songs, basically when I started this whole project, I wanted to cut something for myself. Because I'd been in so many bands for so long, and Two Birds was already at the end of their rope. But I wanted to put together some kind of solo effort. I didn't know I was going to do a full record, but these two songs were the very first two that we recorded. I hadn't committed to anything further than that. I was kind of just demoing and figuring it out. And we made a video for one of them, for The Sun. But then there was kind of delays in getting that video done, and then by that time we'd started writing the rest of the record, and then my father got sick. So everything the schedule kind of just went in circles for a little while. But those two songs were basically the backbone of the entire record, and they gave me enough strength and also Ken enough inspiration to say, hey, maybe it's not a bad idea to do an entire collection. So those two started it all. I figured those were the ones that I should send to you.
Yeah, they're perfect. I absolutely love your music. I can't even tell you how talented you are, you know, the acting and the singing and being funny and that. I absolutely love your work, so you must keep on doing that. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, why don't you go ahead and share some of the perks for the people if they want to donate? I mean, you can donate as little as a dollar and get a great perk.
We have some cool stuff going on the Kickstarter. We have something like the download of the whole record. We have the physical copy of the CD. We also have the vinyl, plus the CD, plus the download. Everything, usually the higher rewards comes with everything. We have T-shirts. We have posters that actually were, it's so cute what they're going to say is, I helped a girl I know find her lost tapes.
I love that.
Big, but I love it. It's mysterious.
That's perfect.
And then we also have video chat. I actually added a couple of rewards. I added a piano lesson. I know we have the online house concert and the full band concert. Jeremiah Bitsui, who was on the song Bang Bang Bang, he came in and added his own reward where you get a signed 8x10 of him, plus some blue meth candy from the show Breaking Bad, since he was on that show.
Can you explain that to me? Because unfortunately, I'm one of those people that didn't watch Breaking Bad, so I have
no
idea what blue meth candy is.
the show is basically about a chemistry teacher who becomes a chemist that makes methamphetamine. So, family watching.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah plays this drug lord's right-hand man, basically his henchman in the show. And he's in a couple seasons of the show, and he goes out in a pretty gruesome way. A lot of people on that show get killed.
I would imagine.
he gets killed in a legendary way. So there's blue meth candy, because the meth is blue, I guess, in the show, and there's actually a place that makes blue meth candy. It's just candy, but, you know, they have it in little baggies, and they it says Breaking Bad on them or something. So it's kind of like a souvenir.
That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a Breaking Bad souvenir package.
That's so cool. And for our listeners, that's only $20. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a pretty good perk for that amount of money. Plus, mm-hmm. you get some fantastic music with it. So what more can you ask for?
Yeah.
And think of it, too. Any Breaking Bad fans out there, or your husband is one, or your nephew's one, or your niece, or your, you know, daughter or whatever, what a great Christmas present that would make. You know, tell them, here's your, you know, I'm writing this down in a card for you, but eventually you'll get this.
Right, exactly.
You know, but it would make a great gift.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat, he threw that in, that was his idea, and I thought that was so sweet, because it's definitely something for the fans.
Well, it's really easy to donate. Now, I've donated to Kickstarter, and I've donated to Indiegogo, and I'm not sure which one does what, but once you click on it to donate, I was trying to figure out, do you pay with PayPal on that, on Kickstarter?
I believe it's with
Or is
credit.
That a credit card?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one that goes to my Amazon account. I just clicked on it now.
Right.
So it's really easy. It's very, very easy to donate. And it's for a good cause. You're helping make somebody else's dream come true that eventually you'll get something for and enjoy it. The music, I'm sure, is going to be phenomenal just from the songs that I've listened to and that I'll be playing for you in a few minutes here. So is there anything else you'd like to share or give a shout-out to? I want to give a shout-out to Leah for connecting us. I want to thank
Leah's
her for
great.
That.
Thank you, Leah.
Yes.
I don't know that I have anything else. I'm trying to think, but I think we covered everything.
Awesome, awesome. Well, this show goes to podcasts once the show is over with, and anybody can share the link with other people, and they can hear more about your Kickstarter campaign for My Lost Tape, or for The Lost Tapes, but you can go to mylosttapes.com and find it as well. You're also on Twitter under A Girl I Know Music. And I was looking, do you have a Facebook page or like a personal Facebook? Okay, what is that?
Actually, people are getting the Facebook a little confused because there's another Carolina Hoyos that makes music.
Yes. That's what I found. And so I was like, okay, this is not her, so I better double check.
Yeah, it's not me, which is interesting. I reached out to her. I thought it would be funny if we made a record together.
Oh, my God, that would be awesome.
So my Facebook is A Girl I Know. Facebook.com/A Girl I Know. My personal one is Facebook.com/Carolina Hoyos. The other imposter, Carolina Hoyos, is Carolina Hoyos Music. But visit her too, you know? Tell her what's up.
Yeah.
Tell her I said hi.
That's so funny.
Oh, you know, I did actually want to say one. At least one shout out. I have a company that I really want people to be aware of, the Cancer Support Community Center. They have offices in Pasadena, West LA. I think they have one in Westlake. If you're in Los Angeles, I know there's other organizations elsewhere. I don't think that these are nationwide because I know it's part of the Gilda Radner Foundation.
Okay.
But they offer support groups and help and even art classes and photography classes and so many cool, neat things and ways to express yourself for anybody who's going through cancer treatment or who's caregiving for someone with cancer. I did not have health insurance when – I have health insurance now, but I did not have mm-hmm. health insurance for a time when my father was diagnosed, and I knew that I was going to need help. To make sure I didn't crumble while I was taking care of him. And they were an amazing help. They still continue to be. And it's just a wonderful place to go and heal and to work everything out and process it together with other people going through the same thing. I would be nowhere without them. They've been incredible.
Wow.
So if you can check them out, or if somebody feels like, you know, donating to them too, please by all means do. I plan to when I can afford it. They're incredible, incredible organization. So it's the Cancer Support Community Center.
And and I'm sure they have things like that, like you said, everywhere, but it's good to know specifically the one that you've handed out, because there's a lot of people in L.A., you know?
Yeah.
And so,
I only really found them because I was Googling someone told me I should take Feldenkrais classes. I know we're probably running out of time. I have, I was diagnosed with PTSD a long time ago. And I've done all these treatments, and when I started having a relapse last year, someone expressed to me that I should look at Feldenkrais classes because it physically deals with the emotional, the physical trauma memory in your body that isn't always connected to your brain, but your body remembers it. So I was basically just Googling who offers Feldenkrais, and I stumbled upon them. I didn't know about them. I have so many friends that have dealt with cancer in Los Angeles that did not know about them, and I'm grateful. I want everybody to know about them now because they've been incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they're the best.
Yeah. Well, God bless them for being there for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I wish you all the best. Happy holidays to you and your family, and please give your dad a hug for me.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and yours as well. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and keep going, girl. You got it going on.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. And for our listeners, I'm going to go ahead and play Stuck to You, which is by Carolina Hoyos and Ken Franklin when they were two birds.
To weep. I said, baby, there's no need to cry.
Song. I absolutely love that song. Next up is I'll Find the Time by Carolina Hoyos.
1, 2, 3.
And you would know that if I had my phone off of mute before I played it. Such a dork sometimes. I put my phone on mute so you don't hear anything in the background while the music's playing. I don't want to ruin the experience for you. So hopefully I had it off mute when I played the previous song, which was called I'll Find the Time. Either way, I hope you enjoyed the music, which I do believe you do. So be sure to donate, you know, a dollar or more if you can for her Kickstarter campaign for the Lost Tapes. And you can go to mylosttapes.com for that. If you can't donate, you can help in other ways, and that is by sharing the link with other people. So you, if you put it on your Facebook page, you put it on your Twitter, you put it on your Instagram, you know, whatever you have, some kind of, there's social media things all over the place. So if, even if you share that, there's going to be other people that will be interested in donating and getting the album because it's going to be phenomenal. So, and don't forget to follow her on Twitter at A Girl I Know Music and check out her Facebook page with the same name. Don't put in Carolina Hoyos because, like she said, you'll end up with somebody else. And that's what I found, too. So I thought it was really funny. But we know which one we want, so go to it. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and close the show. I want to thank everybody for joining me today. I want to wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving, and God bless each and every one of you. Stay safe. Don't go out if you don't have to. And I'll be back again, well, normally on Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern time, I have my indie hour music. But I do have an appointment that day, so I'm not sure if I'm going to make it back on time to do it. I may do something later on in the day. But just watch for my website and Twitter, which is take2radiomusic.com with the number 2. This interview will also be on there as well, if you'd like to share the link. Plus, I tweet it out. And if not, then I'll be back again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with an interview with Doug Briney. So take care, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.